America's founders said that our rights come from God. In contrast, the Soviets said that there is no God, and they set out to dominate the world. In fact, during most of the 20th century, the whole world was gripped in the struggle, sometimes hot, mostly cold, of the Cold War, mainly between these two ideologies. Although today's elites on the American side are often practical atheists themselves. In the 1950s, there appeared an amazing book written by a former communist sympathizer who had become a Christian. The book was named Witness, and it was written by Whitaker Chambers, who used to have a major position with Time magazine. And a personal anecdote, I had the privilege to write books with D. James Kennedy, and one time I asked him, how did you become so conservative politically? And his answer was reading Whitaker Chambers' book, Witness. Well, Dr. Paul Kanger is an historian and a best-selling author, and he writes many articles, including many exposing the Soviet ideology that drove so much of the 20th century. Recently, Dr. Kanger has written a column on the importance of Whitaker Chambers and his book, Witness, to the U.S. versus the USSR debate. Dr. Kanger, who is a professor of history, political science, of history and political science at Grove City College. Again, he's also a best-selling author. He joins us now on the program. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. Dr. Kanger, it's such a privilege to talk with you again. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. You're too kind. Good to be with you.
Did you know that story that I just told about Dr. Kennedy and Witness?
Yeah. I think you told me before, and it's very similar to, in fact, I'm wondering if Dr. Kennedy himself might have told me that story.
Oh, wow.
I remember, yeah, he interviewed
Name dropper.
Me, I believe, on my... Yeah.
Just kidding.
No, he interviewed me on my book, God and Ronald Reagan, I believe. If that was the occasion, only at one time where I had the honor of him interviewing me. He was a great influence in my conversion to Christianity from agnosticism. But very similar to Ronald Reagan's experience. Ronald Reagan, if people would ask Ronald Reagan, "Do you have a favorite book?" And he would say, "Well, yeah, the Bible." He said, "But other than that, I'd have to point to Whitaker Chambers' Witness."
Wow.
And like the Bible, Reagan could quote passages from Witness verbatim
Wow.
off the top of his head because it had such a profound influence on him.
Wow. Okay, so set the table for us. Who was Whitaker Chambers, and why is his book Witness so important even after, 60, 70 years since it was published?
Yeah, published in 1952, and it was by Random House. It was just a gigantic manuscript. We're talking almost a half a million words. In fact, probably about 500,000-600,000 words, I think, was what they originally turned in. Give people a sense of perspective. I just mentioned my book, God and Ronald Reagan. That book, I think, was about 120,000 words, and that came out to about 400 pages, I think, in the HarperCollins hard copy. And Whitaker Chambers was born on April Fool's Day, he'd like to point out, April 1st, 1901. He died just 60 years later. I mean, he didn't live very long. He wasn't in very good health. And also, he had just been put through the ringer, kind of personally, politically, intellectually, even spiritually by the end of his life. But he grew up in this kind of fairly apolitical family in Long Island. It was frankly a very dysfunctional family. His mother was kind of crazy. The father was a bad father. In fact, the father, as we later found out, not from Chambers' book Witness, because this stuff wouldn't have been published back then. This was too sensational or scandalous. But in the book by Sam Tannenhaus, the biography of Whitaker Chambers, we found out later that the father was bisexual, and the father was actually fleeing the house for trysts with men in what would have been probably the 1920s. So very, very unusual for that day. Chambers' brother was kind of a psycho. Suicidal. They would get into knockdown, drag out brawls on the kitchen floor of the house. Mother slept with a knife under her pillow, maybe even a gun. But Chambers went off to Columbia University, where this sort of apolitical, maybe at best kind of a Taft Republican, became this raving Marxist-Leninist. And in fact, Sam Tannenhaus said in his biography of Chambers, Chambers had at last found a faith. He had at last found his faith. It was Marxism-Leninism. So he became this hardcore communist, edited New Masses, which was one of the top communist publications in the 20s and 1930s. And of all things, Jerry, he ends up spying for the Soviets. He became such a committed communist that he ended up spying for the Soviet Union.
Wow. And he's best known for putting away a guy named Alger Hiss. Who was that and what was that all about?
Yeah, so in the 1930s, when he was spying for the Soviets, really probably about the year 1932 that he really begins that double life. But he, among the comrades that he came in contact with, was Alger Hiss, who was a high-level government official. He had been there at Dumbarton Oaks for the founding of the UN. He had clerked for Oliver Wendell Holmes, went to Harvard, kind of an elite New England type, went to, was at Yalta. He was at Yalta, Jerry, right? I mean, we all know what a disaster Yalta was in February 1945, and worked for the State Department. And it was there while he was at the State Department that he was leaving his office, the last one to leave, putting documents in his briefcase, and he would bring them home to his wife, Priscilla. And Priscilla, on a typewriter, would retype the documents, which would then be delivered by courier to their KGB contact. In fact, I think it was actually a GRU contact, Soviet GRU, which is military intelligence. And Whitaker Chambers was a conduit, part of this process. And it was Chambers who publicly outed Alger Hiss in really dramatic hearings in August 1948. Hiss denied ever even knowing or meeting Chambers, but eventually Chambers was able to prove that he knew Hiss, and Hiss went to jail for 4 years for perjury. He was actually convicted unanimously by a jury of his peers for perjury. And maybe the only funny thing Hiss ever said was that 4 years in a federal penitentiary was an excellent corrective to 4 years at Harvard.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I just want to say, sorry, you have more to say. Go ahead.
Well, but I just finished on this. Hiss lived a long life. This is off the top of my head, but I think he died maybe 1997. In his 90s, and he would always insist that he was innocent. But, most reasonable people, including on the left, like Arthur Schlesinger Jr., would say, look, we remain friends with him, but we all knew that Alger was guilty. And so it's been proven in the different biographies of Chambers and historical accounts. Hiss was clearly guilty.
Well, this is what I was going to say. Here we are in the 21st century, and there's a lot of young people in America, and you bring up any of this kind of stuff, and they would basically think along the lines of, who cares? But they don't realize how scary things were in, say, the late 40s and 50s when there was the quote-unquote Red Scare in America. And yeah, Mr., Senator Joe McCarthy overstated things and brought, kind of opprobrium on the whole movement against the threat of the communists. But that threat was real, and the communists were taking over countries. And, even when Khrushchev, the premier after Stalin, he denounced Stalin's crimes and all these kinds of things and loosened things a little bit. But within a few years, they came down hard on Hungary, one of the countries in the Soviet bloc. Paint for us. Was there a real threat of the Soviets trying to take over the whole world, including the United States, if they could have?
Well, that was the goal. I mean, according to Marxist-Leninist philosophy, right? And in the closing words of the Communist Manifesto, workers of the world unite, we have a world to win. They established the Comintern, the Communist International, March 1919 in the Soviet Union. And the goal was worldwide communism. And in fact, Langston Hughes, who's now read in American public schools as a celebrated African-American civil rights poet, said, put one more S in the USA to make it the USSA when we take over. William Z. Foster, one of the first heads of Communist Party USA, and by the way, a founding board member of the ACLU, called this Soviet America. And you know, they were pledged to what they called in their, when they joined Communist Party USA, they swore a loyalty oath to, quote, ensure the triumph of Soviet power in the United States, unquote. And then they infiltrated our government, right? All different levels. They penetrated our nuclear program. You know, the movie on Robert Oppenheimer is out now. Oppenheimer was at least a small C communist. His wife, his mistress, and his brother were all members of the Communist Party. Look at the Rosenbergs. Look at, Lee Harvey Oswald was a communist. He assassinated the president of the United States. So worldwide, they were responsible for the deaths of over 100 million people under communist ideology. So people who don't know that this was a threat to the United States and the wider world are just ignorant. And what they really are is they're products of our schools, and they don't know any better. And that's why we need shows like yours and discussions like this to educate people.
Yeah, and I really appreciate all that you've done. I mean, you're the only person I know that actually took the time when the Soviet Union, you know, finally collapsed, and then he eventually released a lot of the memos and so forth, the secret documents. You read a lot of that stuff. Now, you had to read it. Did you read it in English, or did you find some way to have it translated, or how did that work?
Well, some of them have been translated. Some of them I had to have translated. But the beauty of what's called the Soviet Comintern Archives on Communist Party USA, which are at the Library of Congress, and which, frankly, most scholars in the academy just ignore. And I know that because when I go there and I sign out the microfiche, no one else is even signing it out. But a lot of the documents that are there were in several languages. And by the way, typically German was the first language of a lot of them. It's kind of interesting. But they were usually in German, Russian, French, and English. So most of them you could actually get in English. And of course, if we're dealing with Communist Party USA documents, they were mostly in English anyway. But it would help more to be able to read Russian and really expose a lot of what they were doing. But there's enough damning material in English that's out there too.
Okay, we only have about a minute left, believe it or not. Let's just close on Chambers. What else do you want to say about Whitaker Chambers that ought to be said? How did he get to become a Christian?
Yeah, no, that's a good story. I think that's a good way to wrap this up. He was, it's a very complicated story, but among other things, and this was Ronald Reagan's favorite anecdote about Chambers. One day he was sitting there just staring at his little daughter in a high chair, who he said the Communist Party would have told him to abort, and just marveling at her ear, the intricacies of her ear. And it just struck him the idea of a creator. Right. And he had a number of epiphanies like this, Jerry, where he said, you know, this couldn't have just evolved from some primordial soup. Right. I mean, this all suggests design. And it was the morality, well, the immorality of communism, the morality of the Christian worldview. And he said in the end that the battle between communism and the West, right, the freedom of the West, this is really something that goes back to the Garden of Eden. And the idea that ye shall be as gods. And that's what he felt the communists tried to do. They tried to create their own secular, atheistic utopia. So all of this really pushed him into Christianity. And by the end of his life, his Christianity was the one thing that gave him comfort and literally saved him.
Dr. Paul Kanger, faithandfreedom.com. Thanks, Paul. All the best.
Thanks so much, Jerry.